You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
Hey, welcome everybody to Here District. It's the Fantastic Voyage. I'm the captain of this vessel. I got on my world champion Milwaukee Buck. I'm pulling out all stops, my son.
That's what you do.
Mariah designed this. I'm just trying to, you know, just change this energy around. My son Chris Johnson, the only father and son tandem to win a national championship at the same school in college, UCLA, Grove Bruins, 25 years apart, 1975, 1995. And I might add,
20 years apart.
20 years apart, my bad. And I might add, we were the first father and sons, 20 years apart, to be named LA City Players of the Year, 1973 and 1993. So a lot of good stuff going on. What's up, man?
Anything and everything, bro. 1-6. 1-6.
Oh, why you got to go there right off the? Can we just have some small talk, man? Talk about what you had for lunch.
Well,
breakfast.
Yeah, sure. How's y'all? I mean, hey, yeah. Breakfast was great. My breakfast was wonderful. You know, my workout was fantastic.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I did some yoga, went to the park. And,
You know, so life is good. I rode my bike around the neighborhood as I do every day, this day of the week, every week, you know.
Oh, just, okay.
You know, kind of chill. And, you know, I forgot my partial dentures. So I was kind of had the gap tooth thing going on. So I was hoping nobody would know
me. Let's talk about that for a second. So this partial denture, let me just set the tone for you guys. So MJ's, you know, got the partial denture thing going so he can take it in, take it out whenever he wants. But he chooses to answer, you know, personal phone calls. If I FaceTime this guy, he's answering the phone with the dentures out. So he's like toothless. And he's just like giving me this crazy look. Well, I love it. It catches me off guard.
It's every other tooth, actually. So,
I'm getting there. I need one too. Shoot, let me get one.
Is that kind of like, hey, what's up, Chris? How you doing, man? Good. That's what he's got to look. That's what he's got to look at when he FaceTimes me. Hey, son, how you doing? You know, I turned into Clem Cadillhopper. You know nothing about Clem Cadillhopper,
do you? I do not.
The Red Skelton Show, man. Check it out, man. Red Skelton is one of the Red Skelton is one of the all time greatest comedians. Just in terms of physical comedy and character and all that, man, this guy is on a whole nother level, man. Red Skelton.
Is he funnier than your boy from Angels with Dirty Faces?
That's James Cagney. Angels with Dirty.
I'm thinking of
gangster movie. Rocky.
I'm thinking of like
Shane.
What about H.G. Wells? Was he a comedian?
No, I don't know why.
I don't know who I'm thinking of. Some dude, not Charlie Chaplin. Was it Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie
I don't know.
Chaplin
one of them dudes. One of them dudes.
That's bothering me, man. So 1-6, man. At the day of this taping, we've lost 6 games in a row.
Woo.
And got a couple of a tough schedule coming up. But, you know, Utah coming up. We got the New York Knicks on the road coming up. And we've got the Boston Celtics. So here's the thing. The last 2 games against a team that is playing the best basketball in the league right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
8-0.
9-0.
They had the best start in Cavs history since 1976-77 was the last team to go, I think, 8-0.
Damn.
And on that team, I saw a guy the other night, Chris, in Cleveland that was a member of that basketball team. You know, and you're pretty good at these old school ballers, man, but I think this is going to stomp you. Campy Russell, does that mean anything to you?
Campy, for sure.
6'8", but he was like a 2-guard. You know, they call him a small forward, but he had a handle and a jumper. And I saw him the other night. He just reminded me of that 1976-77 team. But Jim Brewer, the great Jim Jones from Marquette, whose daughter Karita Jones is an executive with the Milwaukee Bucks, does an outstanding job. Another guy, kind of in the Toby Bailey, Jordan Farmar mold. His name is Bobby Bingo Smith. This light skinned brother, man, that could just shoot the lights out. And so anyway, that was Bill Finch. They played at the Richfield Coliseum, which is about an hour from Cleveland, out in the middle of farmland. You had to stay out at a Ramada Inn or something.
Did it smell like boo-boo?
Like
the Cow Palace?
But the inside of the Richfield Coliseum was pristine. They had the prettiest floor. It was shiny, bouncy. Oh. I used to love, man. Woo! I used to love coming down on 2-on-1 breaks and just, it was like a trampoline, that floor. It was a really good experience because the fans, they sell out every game. I think they made the Eastern Conference Finals and lost to the Celtics, I believe.
The Cavaliers?
Dude. Bill Fitch was their coach. So they were good, old school, legit. But anyway, so the Bucks lost to the Cavs twice and should have beaten them. Both times. Donovan Mitchell made a great play. Should have been kept to the sideline by Gary Trent Jr. Allowed him to, yes, Gary Trent made a good defensive play, poked the ball away from him, wasted some time. Donovan got it back and was able to come middle, hit a really good, solid jumper going left.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on this real quick about that. Giannis actually ran and doubled on that play. What do you think about?
Well, he didn't double.
He stunted. It was a hard stunt. It was because he went really far in the stunt.
Go ahead.
Talk to me about what happened from your
vantage. Well, when Trent poked the ball loose, it went to the sideline right in front of the Cavs bench. Giannis was guarding somebody in the corner, George Niang, I forget who it was. He was guarding somebody in the corner. Giannis, they all three of them went for the ball. So Giannis was kind of right there near the ball. Donovan got to the basketball first, and Gary Trent was right there kind of, on the inline side, and that allowed Donovan to just spin real quick left, get two dribbles, pull up, bang. He knew Gary Trent Jr.
Do you take the ball? Do you take the ball out of his hands? Make somebody else hit it?
You either do that or you keep him sidelined. You funnel him to Giannis. You know, you should have your instincts and just awareness should tell you that Giannis is right here. So I'm gonna keep him. I'm gonna keep him corralled. And when I played with the Bucks, Don Nelson. So we had we talked about the butter situations with Lisa Byington. But 5 seconds left on the shot clock, the rule, Chris, was that you always made that whoever had the basketball, you made them make one more pass. Mm-hmm. So everybody knew it. So the rotations were real quick and crisp. Mm-hmm. And so you know, if Donovan had the ball, then we're gonna send two at him. If he throws it to the corner, Brooks gotta fire out. If he throws it to Darius Garland, who was guarded by Taurean Prince, and Taurean goes over to Donovan to get it out of his hands, you know. Everybody's trying to make him make one more pass because it's 5 seconds. If you make him make a pass or two, game's over. You know, the clock is off. He knocked down that jumper with 0.3 seconds. So, yeah. I mean, it was just a great play on his part. So we lost that game. The other thing is, I mean, you know, I would like to find a good 0.3 catch and shoot guy. And we went to Dame, but Pat Connaughton is really good at catching it high, getting off quickly. AJ Green.
Dame's miss wasn't that bad though.
Dame's miss was really close.
Dame missed it, but it was like it looked like a bucket. I mean, it was straight. No, it was right. Almost in. But I get your point about
just that, for future
the art form, but the art form of catching, turning, shooting.
Just knowing who on your roster is really good at that.
That's just knowing,
putting a couple
point.
Guys out there. So if they double team Dame, then I got somebody else coming.
Plan
who's
B.
Who's a good? You know, just keep it high, catch it high. Shoot it high. It's my old coach at UCLA, Lee Hunt, used to say, hang it high, let it fly. Hang it high, let it fly. Anyway, rest in peace, Coach Leroy.
Who said, stick your hand in the cookie jar?
Yeah, that was Coach Hunt. Yeah, just like he rocked it, like you reached for a cookie. Yeah, like you reached for a cookie on the follow through.
I still use that to this day.
Like you reached for a cookie up here. That's how you got it.
Like you're reaching up there, and
that wrist has got to be loose like a gunny sack. Like a gunny sack.
What the hell is a gunny sack?
I have no idea. But that wrist got to be loose like a gunny sack.
If anyone knows what a gunny sack is, please comment.
It's got to be a gunny sack. Look like a gunny sack. And now they say gooseneck, but back when Lee Hunt it came in, man. Talk about a whole cultural shift in terms of terminology and vernacular. Sure. And I love Lee Hunt. He was a great assistant coach, and he, You know what they tried to do with me at UCLA, man? They wanted me to shoot. Marcus, you know, you're shooting 58%. You need to shoot. You need to shoot 25 to 30 times a game. You know, I'm shooting about 14, 15 times. You're not getting up enough shots.
And gotta love Coach Bartow, dog.
I wish I'd have knew then what I knew now. You know,
gotta love Coach Bartow.
We need you shooting 25 shots a game. You
know, yes,
like,
sir.
I was like, Coach, I'm from that wooden mold. You know, we gotta be unsell. You know, whatever. But anyway, so the point is that the Bucks lost a game they should have won, went to Cleveland without Giannis on Monday night, and man, this was the revelation. And you know, this is Doc played the young boys, you know, and we have been talking about this since what we started this podcast
last year.
Refresh my memory.
Last season. No, it was just scenario? About. It was about Derry Bird. I mean, it was about AJ Green getting more burn and Andre Jackson. There was just this big kind of undercurrent of support for playing those guys more in Doc's when Doc took over. And, you know, we kind of had the conversation about, you know, Doc not really trusting these guys yet, how long that was going to take, and him kind of leaning on vets because the trust factor is already there for proven commodities.
Right. And Doc, to Doc's defense and to explain his thought process was like with an Andre Jackson Jr. last year, especially as a rookie, you know, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to get. Yeah. Pat Connaughton is more limited, but I know exactly what I'm going to get.
You can't knock that. Right, you can't knock that. That is how the NBA has been set up for as long as I can remember. But for me, from what I'm seeing from just this season, in particular, it's like the youth movement across the league is really at a place where it's making a dent in things. Like they're influencing the outcome of games. Playing young guys early is actually a move because of the style of basketball that's being played. Everybody and their mama in the league's pace is up, except for like the Spurs and a couple of other teams, probably the Bucks. The 3-point rate is up.
Crazy.
For nearly every single team in the NBA. Memphis is one whose 3-point rate went down, you know. Two of their high-value three-point shooters have been out for, like, most of the season this year with Desmond Bane missing some games, Luke Kennard missing some games. But the reality of the situation is you got to play that style. And young guys nowadays, you put them in the game. There's a time that when you play, imagine when you're in the league and there's a thing going on with rookies when they got in the game. It was like the refs were in on it against the rookies to make the vets look like, you know, decent, like, you know, on the floor. So rookies are good, whistle for two quick fouls. It'd be
they protected the vets. When you're a vet, you got the friendly whistle. You got the benefit of the doubt. You got the ghost, the phantom whistle sometimes.
Man. And what I'm seeing, and maybe, you know, this is all in my mind, but I see rookies now and young players now getting more of a chance to flourish in today's NBA. Because of the style of play, pace, and the emphasis on movement, et cetera. And then the 3-point shot. Every single rookie pretty much that comes into the league has been shooting threes his whole life. So guys are ready. Like it was like that Chicago game was such a revelation for me because when the Bucks played the Bulls earlier in the season, and when I say revelation, it was just like Jalen Smith coming out hitting three threes. It's like, it's almost like as a big, you would never in your whole entire career think that this guy, Jalen Smith, will be stepping out, hitting three. So you're conditioned to not really worrying about a dude like that, leaving dudes like that open in the corner at the top of the key and really shading and helping at the rim and helping on pick and rolls and helping on dribble penetration. But for me, MJ, it's almost like if for the guys that are veterans in the NBA, especially on the Bucks, right? The vet guys, you almost have to recondition your mindset. All these skinny, long-armed, light-in-the-ass fours and fives will pop on your behind and shoot that three and knock it down. Noah Clowney. These type of dudes are effective in today's NBA. And I'm sorry for the long-winded thing, but it's just something that I've noticed and that is going to take a fundamental shift in mentality for bigs, particularly the older guys, right? You got to start sticking to dudes and live with that tough contested too, man.
Yeah. You get a guy on the move, going to the basket to overhelp now spells doom. We talk about it's a game of math.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, before you could You could take the gamble that Jalen Smith is going to be a low 30% shooter from the 3-point. Now he's up around 40% or something. He's having a hell of a year shooting the 3-point. So now it's a different kind of an approach. And the Bucks are getting hurt a lot at times, kind of over helping. And look, Brook Lopez is one of the top guys in the league in terms of contesting shots at the basket, and we love it that about him. But there are times when you've got to. You got to read the room. You got to feel the temperature of the room, man. And it's just like the Bulls came in and they was just on one. What, they made 21 threes against us or something like that. Then 25 the next game they had. So it's a totally different shift, to your point. And there were about five or six teams, I hadn't checked recently, shooting 40 threes per game. You know, the 3-point volume was way up this season compared to even last year. So it's – you know, it's a real interesting shift. You know, you talked about the veterans and how they get the benefit of that. I remember a game, Chris, my second year in the league, when I was averaging 26 points a game. We average up here 26 points a game my second year. And I'm going against the Washington Bullets at that time, the politically incorrect Bullets at that time. And so the game had just started. And so I'm hot. I'm just on one. Elvin Hayes is the star of the Bullets. The Big E. So Big E's gone. We're matching bucket for bucket. First quarter, just going at it. He gets into it with an official. I forget who it was, but he gets into it with an official, cusses the official out. They kick him out of the game. The veteran. He's about 10 years older than me, probably 32, 33. Still great, great player. I'm 23 years old, 22, 23. Chris, they gave me three fouls within a minute. to even things
neutralize
up.
That's that.
So we kicked the vet out. Now we got to, you know, find a way to, you know what I mean? To neutralize, to even things up. And they gave me three bogus bull crap fouls in about 2 minutes. And I had to sit out the rest of the half, you know, and it turned out to be a competitive game. I think we won. I'm not sure, but that was a much. But to your point about, playing young guys, I read something really interesting today, and it's talking about the OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
And how they've got a young player that you're familiar with, that I wasn't, AJ Mitchell. He is playing 13 and a half minutes a game I don't know where he was drafted, but he wasn't a high draft pick.
He's a first rounder.
First rounder. Okay.
I think he was a first rounder.
Okay. But he's playing. So, but the comparison that this article is making is his time on the floor versus AJ Johnson, who played in the Australian Professional League. Bucks picked him first round, later in the first round. And they're talking about AJ Mitchell.
Sorry, he's a second round pick. Sorry, this guy.
Okay, so that makes the story even better.
Yeah,
but Oklahoma City, they're saying Oklahoma City, playing him 13 and a half minutes, which means over 82 game schedule, he would log 1,100 minutes.
Wow,
AJ Johnson. Based on what he's played, 6 minutes a game, he would max out at 71 minutes. And they're saying that AJ's already played 105 minutes already. So the point is that Oklahoma City is one of the top teams in the league, Chris, at playing their young players. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Thunder, 30 times in the last 4 years, the Thunder played someone under 25 years old at least 1,000 minutes
for the season.
The Bucks are last in the league. With their young players, just haven't played measly. Haven't played their young players, three times over 1,000 minutes. You know, so it's just something to look at, and it really drives your point home.
And look, it's also we're going to recognize the differences in both organizations, right? The Thunder is not the Bucks. The Bucks won an NBA championship in 2021, so their mindset for the Bucks is a little bit different when it comes to young players and all that type of stuff. But the reality remains the same, that in today's NBA, young players got to get to realize like the return on investment that you're going to get out of them as a draft pick. They got to get NBA minutes. And it's not the same league as before with this phenomenon of young players he's not ready to play. Like, yeah, you're not ready to play if you're turning that thing over too much, you're wild and you don't, you know, and maybe your jumper's broke. But if you could take care of the basketball and you could defend as a young player in today's NBA and knock down an open jumper, a la like Andrew Nebhard, AJ Mitchell, like all these kind of guys, like you got to play within a certain wheelhouse within yourself to do it. Now, AJ may not be there as far as his mindset is concerned. But we're at a place now where in the NBA, like what AJ Johnson has, that skill set, that athleticism, that speed, that end-to-end speed, that ability to laterally affect the game, change the game on a defensive level, like it's worth, in my opinion, it's worth giving the guy some tick on the top team. Like incorporate him into the fold, the situation would make a lot of sense because he's a pro already. He's young, but he's already been a pro. So his learning curve, the learning potential for him is a lot faster. He's probably going to pick it up a lot faster. If he's in the throes of the thing, if he's in the belly of the beast, if you will, like we need, like in my opinion, that would be something I think would help the lineup some.
Well, so AJ Johnson goes like a couple of games, 0 for 15, 1 for 30. I mean, so is there any credence to the thought process of that you don't want to crush his confidence at 19 years old? And this is my thing, though. He got there. You know, I was talking to his skill development guy that you know out of Fresno. What's the guy's name?
Mike Hill.
Mike Hill. So Mike Hill was at a game, and we had a great conversation. And he was showing me old clips of AJ when he was 10, 11, 12 years old, working out, developing him, doing the stuff that they were doing. Yeah. But the point was is that he got there. I mean, to shoot 15 times, get there and just kind of, you know, of the 15 misses, 14 misses, probably 8 or 9 were real makeable, kind of lipping, rolling around the lip and all that, shoot a little long. It wasn't like he was just throwing up some garbage.
No.
And the fact that he had the quickness, though, on the NBA level to blow by and get there. You know, so and you know, the finishing part comes with repetition, with reps. The more reps you get finishing against bigs, finishing against athletes and all that, the better you're going to get at it. So
100%. I totally agree with you, MJ. I think it's just, you know, some teams, some organizations are ahead of the game when it comes to their young talent and how they develop them and the route they're willing to take. You know, the losses, the headaches, the L's. It's like how many L's? But here's my point, though, about young people now, young players. If you're 1-6, it's like, and Doc had, you saw it Monday night in Cleveland, giving these guys an opportunity in meaningful minutes.
Right.
You know, it's like, let's see a sample size of these guys when it really matters, how they affect the game. Like to me, it's like the end of game minutes never really give you that good sample. Cause that young crew has looked good. They've come in and done some things. I remember we were down 20 something against somebody, cut it to like 8 or something crazy with the young crew. And I was just like, good Lord. Yeah. But giving them meaningful minutes, and now they got the confidence, the trust. We're going to see it a little later, on how guys are responding. There's also something about team morale too, MJ, when the bench guys, the bench mob, the young guys, when they start to hoop, you could see it. It has a chance to reinvigate you.
The older dudes love it. The older dudes love it too. You're taking a lot of pressure off of them. I ain't got blisters on my back because I got to carry, you know, I got to be Atlas with the weight of the world from Giannis or even Dame. You know, you got a nice rest and these guys have cut into a lead or they've increased the lead or they've held the fort. It's like, cool. Absolutely. But to your point, So I did a little bit of a deep dive. My favorite site, Cleaning the Glass by Ben Falk. That and the thing I love about that site, and I always give him props because he gets rid of the garbage time stuff.
Okay.
So when it's a blowout or whatever, you know, he didn't count all that. He counts the meaningful minutes in all of his stats, which I think makes them more valid than just normal stats, a little more valid. But so he doesn't see. So on his site, you can look up kind of the on court versus on off court. But so the combination of Andre Jackson Jr. and AJ Green, on overall differential, the difference between offense and defense, they're plus 15.6.
Damn.
Plus 50. That's in the 90th percentile. Their points per possession, 119.3. That's in the 81st percentile.
It's not bad.
Solid. So effective field goal percentage, 68%, which is the 100th percentile. So they're shooting lights out. And then defensively, they're in the 93rd percentile, effective field goal percentage, defense 67th percentile, offensive rebound percentage, 100th percentile, just 3.6 offensive rebound percent. So, I mean, it's a small sample size, obviously. It's just 57 possessions, but it gives you an idea how effective they've been, these young guys, as a tandem. And as a matter of fact, let's take a look as we segue into our favorite segment here on Hear District about that action.
You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production.
We're going to take a look at these two young guys, but especially Andre Jackson Jr. And this ain't your regular, you know, ESPN, SportsCenter highlights and dunks and flying around. This is just the nuances of the game that get impacted. Now watch this missed free throw.
Here comes the second free throw after Mobley makes the first. That is up and it misses short. Rebound tipped it high into the air and off the deflection. Andre Jackson taps it to the lawn right.
Evan, he got Andre Jackson Jr. Jump, tap. Okay, run it back. This is young leg. This is a double jump, Chris. This is keeping it alive. And watch how he sneaks in from the right side off the miss. Jump, tap. And has the presence of mind to tap that to DeLon Wright to prevent Cleveland from getting an offensive rebound off a free throw miss. That's one of the things that hurts you as much as anything, right? I mean, you know, you it's a long rebound. And you don't box out or whatever, but he just comes in, knocks Bobby Portis out of the way, double tap, Bucks get possession. So that's the first play.
Well, offensive rebounding, real quick, if we can stay on this, offensive rebounding has been the bane of the Bucks' existence this entire season. Second shots, extending the possession, backbreakers, and possessions when you really need to stop. The Bucks have not come up with those 50-50 balls. They have not come up with that offensive rebound. So the value that's placed on what Andre Jackson Jr. is able to do just goes through the roof, because now you're getting a guy that can come in and instead of Evan Mobley grabbing that and extending it to a 9, maybe a 10-point lead, now you're actually going the other way. If DeLon actually hits Ajax on that, Ajax might have an opportunity to get up the court for a dunk. Not only does he tap it, but watch him fill the lane right here, MJ. Yeah. Bing! He's out. He's out.
And he drags at least a couple of defenders with him. Now that opens up the floor. So it's all kind of value in that kind of athleticism. Okay, that's the first play. About that action.
Cleveland with a basketball after the last stoppage. Garland falls down, passes it off to Merrill. Merrill's three-pointer misses again. Connaughton gets his mitts on it.
Play number one. Play number two. Now watch Sam Merrill. He thinks he's got an open layup. He thinks he's got a wide open layup. Here's block. Andre Jackson Jr., give it to me. I'm going to push it. I love this little crossover left to right. And then who is that? That's the other young leg, AJ Green knocking it down. Let's run that back again. Let's run it back. And then I'm going to have it stopped about right on the handoff, Modus. On the handoff. Right here. Okay, perfect. Look at how open the basket is. That's that Venus flytrap dynamic I talk about. It's alluring. It looks so, gosh.
The funny thing is I don't think anyone knows what a Venus flytrap is, but they can Google it.
That's a beautiful, like, little flower
Is it mythical? Is it a mythical flower?
No, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. So the insect or the little bird or something fly into it.
Got it.
But it looks so pretty and so desirable, the way the colors and everything, and, you know, dripping with honey. It just looks so sweet. I digress.
Here's a drive on the other side. Merrill's shot partially blocked by Jackson, who skied up for it. Bucks come away with a loose ball. Jackson the other way to Green. Transition three. Yes, sir! A.J. Green has given Milwaukee an improbable 7-point lead.
So watch Andre Jackson Jr. right there. He looks like he's not in the play. It looks like a layup. Sam Merrill is a jump shooter. So, you know, if Sam Merrill is going to go for a layup, he thinks he's got an uncontested layup. He thinks it's one of these old dudes from the Bucks that are back there. But run the play, and just watch the quickness, the quick twitch muscle. He's near the middle of the square. Go ahead.
It's just the game-changing level of world-class athleticism that Andre Jackson brings to the Bucks lineup. You don't know when or where it's going to rear its ugly head, but it's going to come out somewhere, whether it be in transition, whether it be help side right there. Something else I wanted to watch on that as well, Monis, from the young guy from the top. You watch the ball pressure of Ryan Rollins right here. Young guard. Where do he go, Dad? Goodness. Where do he go? Toledo?
Toledo. Look at him.
But right here, gets caught on the screen. Bobby kind of doesn't open up a lane for him, but there's Ajax. He's got his boys back. And I think that type of energy on the floor, then AJ Green with a deep three. By the way, when AJ Green, he's a much different player when he's confident and shooting the ball and looking to pull and looking to get his stuff off offensively. When he plays that tentative game, oh, let me give it to Giannis. Oh, let me try to post somebody up. Yeah. No, we don't need, honestly, I think that Dame and Giannis would rather him be an aggressive dude. Cause yeah. now, as you always talk about, the gravity on the floor now moves towards him.
When you know
someone is a threat as an NBA defender, the gravity is going to move towards him. The Bucks do not have enough gravity pullers right now in their lineup. I think Ajax and AJ are great additions. They'll help with that a lot.
Well, AJ Green, especially because of the range. Look how deep he's pulling up right at the Rocket Mortgage Fuel House.
Woo! Stretch you out.
He's right at the Rocket, you know. But let's run it back one more time and look where AJ comes from. This is what I love about this play. So there's the block. Look, let's just go right back.
He's on the baseline.
He's on the baseline. He's right there. He's on the baseline. Andre's got a good 10-yard lead, but he knows that if he runs, he fills that lane. Andre Jackson is a point guard, think mentality first, point forward, whatever he is, pass mentality first type player. So AJ knows that if he gets open, this is a broken field. So this is a great type of setup for a shooter because the defense is all scattered. There's no assignments. Nobody knows who they got right now. It's all about stopping the ball, protecting the basket, and you can find those lanes as a shooter to exploit that. So that's just a great, great play by Andre Jackson Jr. Defensively, and then AJ kind of capping it up. But what do you have, 5 threes, 21 points, AJ in that game? You
know, he hooped. He absolutely hooped. But MJ, right there, hold it, Monis. Go back to Dame. Go back to Dame, Monis. So right at the end of this, right, so the Cleveland calls a timeout, Bucks up
Reaction.
That's the real value, like one of the biggest value of AJ, of Andre. Yeah. It reinvigorates these guys. It keeps them engaged. It keeps them hype. It keeps them turned up, man.
Yeah.
You can easily, MJ, you can attest to this as an NBA superstar. When you're not playing good and then somebody is able to go in the game, you guys are trying to compete and you guys hold yourselves to a high standard of winning and guys are able to come in the game and make a real serious difference. The pressure is now on you to hold up your end of the bargain.
Okay. So my rookie year, Chris, we're playing the Atlanta Hawks down in Atlanta, the Omni, right near the Omni Hotel. Does the arena call the arena might have been the Omni too, but anyways, we're playing the Hawks. Right, and they're just running us ragged. It's just not one of our good nights. And we're down like by 23, 25 or something in the fourth quarter. Their fans are talking crap behind me and just like, oh, you overrated, blah, 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 wow. DDD. Current Bucks owner, Junior Bridgman, brand new ownership guy, Junior Bridgman, six man. Our bench crew's in. It looks like we're getting blown out. So Lloyd Walton, Junior Bridgman, they're all on the floor.
Yeah,
Junior Bridgman hits about – conservatively, seven or eight jumpers in a row.
Damn.
He goes on a heater, maybe more. But Uncle Junior gets in there, man, knocks down about seven or eight. And so what happens is, and so about three or four in a row, we're like, okay, Junior's hot. But he keeps hitting, we keep stopping him. He keeps hitting, we keep stopping him. Now all of a sudden, it's a 2 or 3 point game.
Yeah.
And with about 3 minutes left, Nelly puts the starters back in.
Yeah.
And, I wind up getting fouled on a shot attempt. We were down one with like 2 seconds left. So but back in those days, thank God, they had in the penalty.
Oh, one for two? Two
no,
for three?
Three to make two.
Can you believe?
I think so I missed the first one, but I make the next two and we win the game.
Three to make two? Who came up with that cockamamie?
Yeah.
God.
It worked big time for me on that possession. Three to make two. We win the game, but Junior Bridgman, but to your
good
point,
job, MJ.
Your point, the guys on the bench gave us energy and I got so hyped. I was like Dame right there. I was just like, yeah, you know, and then, I'm going to show this last one real quick, but just the effort of Andre Jackson Jr. Right there, just to close out. Sam Merrill, you know, he gave the Bucks, he gave the Bucks all kinds of issues. He shot pretty well in this game too, but especially that first game in Milwaukee, he killed us. He's a former
17.
Buck. But watch Andre, just this crazy, crazy closeout right there, right hand, then watch go by him, left hand, just swing at it. You know, just a swing. You know, and people don't understand how that impacts the guy coming at you. And he just go throw something in your field of vision, throw that arm up like that. And that's what made Sam Merrill miss that shot. And so just that kind of hustle, energy, engagement, like the total possession defensively, giving up nothing. And yeah, Andre Jackson Jr. will give you a silly foul or two at times. He'll get inside and then not look to finish, even though he did do a better job against Cleveland. You look at him, you're saying, well, he's not shooting the ball well. Well, he's 2 for 5 from the 3-point line. That's 40%. You'll take that 7 days a week. You know, yeah. I think he knocked out a couple, then missed 2 or 3 in a row. So it made it look like he wasn't shooting that great. But the point is that he's a guy that will help this Bucks team. And to that point, we just found out recently that against Utah that there are plans to start Andre Jackson Jr. in the lineup and put Gary Trent the second on the bench. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I just think that now what that gives the Bucks is a legitimate like defensive stopper type of dude from an energy perspective.
Yeah.
Like, that is going to harass like Kayshon George or
Keontae.
Whoever.
Keontae George.
Oh, it's Keontae George. Excuse me. But Keontae George or whoever's dynamic, whoever's getting off. Now we got a body in there that can move, guard, handle, stick to, you know, the connect. You know, he's going to be like, for me, like we get, like a lot of times the Bucks are getting losing connection with their man. Like a lot of that Andre Jr. be on you like white on rice. And I think his energy is contagious, man. It's just a contagious thing for me. I know this stuff kind of sounds a little strange and corny to some people, but there's definitely energy. There's an energy that takes place on the basketball floor that you can plug into. And Andre Jackson Jr. has that energy. And hopefully the rest of the four guys that are out there with them can plug into that energy and make extra effort winning plays. It's going to be about the winning plays, MJ, for the Bucks. The extra effort, the second, third effort, the second, third rotation, the blockouts, you know, the diving on the floor, the tips, the deflection. It's going to take 48 minutes of just straight up effort, man, if we're going to get to the playoffs.
And Doc says, Gary Trent Jr. was struggling. I mean, I'm looking up his numbers against Cleveland on Saturday and Monday. Saturday, 1 for 7 in 21 minutes, 1 for 10 on Monday.
More importantly than the field goals, you could see a loss of confidence in Gary Trent on the shooting. And when he shoots, he puts his head down. He's not shooting it to make it anymore. He's aiming it.
Right.
And then when he takes it, you know, and tries to create, he just doesn't look like he really wants to. So it's going to be, you know, I think this is a good time for the change. Yeah. And Gary Trent Jr. might be better suited with a different rhythm on the floor offensively with that second unit.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, fortifying the bench scoring. You know, he gives, you know, so if he can get back, get his offensive flow back, which is you know formidable. I mean, he's a really good offensive player. Buck fans know we saw him up close and personal in Toronto. He lit us up on comebacks and all that in fourth quarters. And I'm a believer in Gary Trent Jr. But right now he's struggling. So you got to understand that you got to change things up for him, like in baseball when they give a guy a day off or whatever they you know just change things up a little bit, change the rhythm up for him a little bit, and maybe he sees the game from a different lens, different perspective, and that has a carryover in terms of his confidence because he's in a precarious situation. This is a contract year. He took He rolled the dice on himself, you know.
You said it on the broadcast. Try to get paid for next year.
So that's more pressure. And, you know, so that's something else to have to think about.
And taking the pressure off of him is putting him on the bench. Because now he's going to come in against guys that have been being harassed by Andre Jackson Jr. for the last 5 or 6 minutes. Right. So now defensively, because Gary Trent Jr. is not as bad as a defender as the numbers may say at this point, because I see the effort. I see he's great with his tremendous effort, great with body positioning, can make high IQ reads and things like that. So I think his tapping into him as a defender is going to be paramount for the Bucks, especially with him coming off the bench.
Yeah, no. So I like that move. We'll see. You know, we have a nice little sample size by the time this show airs in terms of just the effectiveness of this move for Doc Rivers. But I like it. I think it's you know, you lost six in a row, right? I mean, you got to do something. You lost six in a row with two guys who are top 10 scorers. What does that mean to you? I mean, it's Giannis and Dame.
Well,
top 10, you know, and six in a row. What's going on? People want to know. I'm getting all kind of calls. Antonio Daniels come on my show. You know, everybody wants me to be on this show. And I'm saving it for the pop. I'm saving it for here in district. I'm not giving up my you know, intellectual property for free anymore, man. I'm saving it for this.
Well, thank you.
What's your thoughts on kind of where this team is with those two? Are you, here's the question. Are you happy with those two, the way they played so far? And it's just a question of everybody else kind of picking up their level.
I mean, you're happy with those two with a lot of areas in their game. Offensively, the points, the production has been there. They've been, you know, somewhat of who they are supposed to be. My only thing is with both guys, Dame and Giannis, I just feel like there's a level of sacrifice that needs to take place on the offensive end for both of those guys to make so that they can exert more energy and be just a little bit more sound defensively. I feel like that winning plays, the stuff that made a guy like Jrue Holiday so effective and so valuable, it wasn't necessarily the points and the assists, but just how he would affect the game. And I'm not asking Dame to be a Jrue Holiday level defender who's going to be a Hall of Famer and arguably the best defender at the point guard of his generation. But you just ask for the efforts, the second effort, the third effort, the rotations, the blockouts, putting your body on guys, giving up for the greater good, sacrificing for the bigger goal of the team. For me, this first seven games has been, you know, a lot of business as usual. We expect Dame to come down, bring it up, knock down threes, you know, be that guy. But there's just a level of where the Bucks are as a unit that the need for him to be more, to give us more on the defensive end, to give us more on the winning plays side. And Giannis as well. I mean, although Giannis's numbers can look pretty good and outstanding, I think he would even be the first to admit that he could be a lot better on the defensive side of the ball, on the glass, being more of a presence as far as in rim protection and not allowing some of these second possession offensive rebound putback scenarios that have really, really break the Bucks back every time they happen. Just not being those guys that aren't going to allow that to happen. Being that superstar level talent that is going to secure the possession when the Bucks direly need it. Like, you know, we can't leave that to other guys. Like, you know, the other guys that are operating within the margins and and playing their roles, they're there for a reason. They're paid that salary to do those type of roles. But, you know, we need everything from our two big guys on the offensive end and on the defensive end.
Yeah, that's a great point. And to your point, even Giannis, after a great Olympics, maybe led the Olympics in scoring and had a great Olympics. But what did his coach, Vasilis Spanoulis, have to say to him? You could have gave us more. Your defense could have been at another level if you gave us a little bit more defensively. And I think that's your point. I mean, the offense is, you know, you can never have any complaints about that. But just – And to me, I saw it against Cleveland, Cleveland at home and Cleveland on the road. This team, the spirit was not quite there. It was some disconnection, the connectivity, the connective tissue of just being, you know, just one complete unit. It was just not there for whatever reason. The new guys trying to integrate themselves into two new guys, no Chris Middleton and the considerable amount of value that he brings to this basketball team tangibly, point differential and all that good stuff, but even more of the intangibles, the leadership and all that. But it's getting better. It's getting better and hopefully it will continue to improve. But, then, you know, with Dame also, I mean, the turnovers, you know, got to call it like I see it, the turnovers on double teams. It's like teams have scouted Dame.
Yes.
They know when he's going left, they send two big long bodies at him that sometimes he will leave his feet and
throw that hard pass across his body back.
Yeah.
Try to get it to the middle and they're sitting on it. So
they got arms and limbs and everything else. So it's just, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but just being aware of that. Against Cleveland, in Cleveland, he had a backcourt violation when they sent two. And see, this is what teams are going to do. Good teams are going to send two at him late in games, because they know tap the TSO time. They've got a new NBA promotion, the TSO late game shot game winner or something. But Dame's, yeah, that's Dame. Dame is sponsored by TSO. That's one of his endorsements. So I say, yeah, I always say time to tap the TSO when he's hitting those late game shots instead of Dame time. But they're sending two at him, and so he just got to do a better job of getting off the ball early. Whatever it what and we talked about this, you and I, getting off the ball a little earlier sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's just the pace. Like, if you're not playing at a certain level of pace, you're not going to get a certain amount of shots, and that mathematically is going to, you know, not put you in a position to really win. I just feel like as a bigger theme, like picking up the pace a little bit, getting it up the floor quicker, so that we can have opportunities to get a piece of the paint, suck in the defense, and now we got dudes, you know, trailing up at the three for long, deep, open threes. I think it's the type of threes that the Bucks have not been able to create has been the biggest deal. They've missed their fair share of open threes, make no mistake about it. But there's also a type of three that I feel like the Bucks can get, spray threes, with the ones where, you know, touching the paint and like Dame's at the top and Brooks is somewhere in the corner. And so now you got to pick poisons on who to help to. And it's just the alignment, the alignment on the spot up, you know, you would just like to see it, you know, get a little bit tighter. And then the last point on just what we're looking at at Dame, he's still, you know, if you had to give me a guy in the last, you know, minute of the game, 30 seconds of the game where you absolutely need a bucket, he's still like in that top two or three guys in the NBA that I would trust to give the ball to bring it home. So make no mistake, Dame Lillard's still Dame Lillard. What we're asking, and I think what it takes at 1-6 to get to the goals, the championship level goal that the Bucks have, what it takes is a level of sacrificing what's in your wheelhouse, what's in your kind of standard game that has made you so successful as a professional over the course of your career. Now you got to kind of sacrifice certain things so that you can do some other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's defense. For me, it's just about that being that guy defensively making winning plays, which he's fully capable of because we've seen him do it this season.
Yeah.
So when he wants to, he turns up.
Yeah. And that's the point I want to make, because I've seen a lot more effort, a lot more, you know, going after strips, going after steals, deflections, all that stuff. I mean, the activity is there. It's just kind of staying locked in on that level all the time and not having those lulls, those moments where the defensive intensity, not just focus, but intensity. I'm out here to make a play every single moment of every single possession. And that's what separates Jrue Holiday from everybody, because Drew's out there, you know, he's out there thinking one count ahead, one play ahead or whatever. But that's that being so locked in at the defensive level. But Drew's not asked to score 30 points a game either. So
No, he's not. And that's what you got to.
He's the fifth option. You know, when you look at Tatum, you look at Brown, you look at the Derek White, you look at even Peyton Pritchard's usage has surpassed Drew this season. And Porzingis is not even there. So it's a different dynamic between the two. But I'm just saying overall defensive kind of presence and concentration. I don't expect you to be Drew, but just, you know, give us more.
And you know what will help with that is Dame – like maximizing Dame's minutes. So him playing ability to play less minutes because the bench and their production is at such a high level when he's not in the game, there's no need to kind of string him and Giannis's minutes out. Now them guys can be around the 30, the 29, the 32, whatever.
So ain't no pacing yourself. You have to pace yourself.
Yeah, so now you don't have to pace yourself. Yeah, now you can get it.
Rest on defense. I'm going to chill on defense because I know I got to carry this thing for 38 minutes and give them 35. Yeah, that's a great point. Well, anyway, man, fantastic voice. You know, in a weird kind of morbid kind of a Marcus kind of a way, kind of a, you know, pull my partial dentures out at the top of the show kind of way, you know, this whole 1-6 thing, 6-0, it's interesting, man. It's interesting to watch how these guys are going to talk about a fantastic voyage, because you know the numbers in terms of just making the playoffs are totally against this team making the playoffs. And Doc said it the other night: "Yo, we're gonna make the playoffs. We're gonna make the playoffs." So just seeing how the coaching staff, how the players, are able to pull themselves out of this rut of losing, Now, again, we saw some great effort against Cleveland, two games. The team is playing better than anybody in the league right now. The question is sustainability. Will you be able to sustain it over the next rest of the season, but especially the next 2 weeks to kind of get yourself out of this stuff?
Yeah, I think the Bucks have turned a corner. Those two games against Cleveland have shown them that the methods to their madness work against the best team that's playing the best basketball in the league, and they are within a possession of winning both games. So that whatever it is, bottle that up and keep that going. Whatever this energy is, ride this wave. Stay locked into whatever's going on now and continue to keep your foot on the gas. I mean, the Bucks have, look, when you start incorporating more minutes for the younger guys, I think we're going to start to see different outcomes over the course of this season. And these guys can go on a 10-game winning streak, 8-10-game winning streak. They can get back in the mix, but it's going to take this youth infusion, right, to get it done.
Yeah, and we're going to wrap it up, but using a couple of things you said, so bottle it up, message in a bottle. We need more message. That's the message in the bottle to these guys. And riding that wave of youthful energy, the Fantastic Voyage. We're riding that wave of youthful energy. And that can have such a positive impact on this whole team in terms of the tweaks. And that's what Doc gets paid the big bucks for. Come in, evaluate, make some change. Six in a row, right? You got to make some changes. You got to do something different. What you're doing right now, it's better, but you're still in the midst of a losing streak that you got to change up. And so it's going to be fascinating just to see how these guys, because I still think on paper, this is not a play-in team. This is still a team that, can compete. Philly's struggling there. They're like I looked, they were like 1-6 or something, lost 4 in a row. Some of the other teams are struggling right now. So nobody's, Cleveland's running
away. We're right in the mix.
Cleveland's going to come back. Cleveland's going to come back to the pack at some point. So I'm not overly concerned, but I'm just really fascinated by the development and how this thing will turn out. So anyway, man, good talking basketball with you, man. One of my favorite things in life to do is talk basketball with my sons, man, especially number one son, my first mate, Chris Johnson here. I'm the captain of this vessel, this Fantastic Voyage. And man, we'll see what happens. We'll hit you up next week and see where we are. We out.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.